Our text comes from our gospel lesson, especially these words. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear Saints, several months after Carrie and I were married, we took a camping trip to Big Bend National Park out in West Texas, part of the Chihuahuan Desert. As we hiked, we stayed on the marked trails, but after completing one of the trails of a few miles, the trail ended at a road, not exactly where the trailhead was, maybe 50 yards away. And we knew our car was parked on this road a little ways away, but we couldn't see it. So at my suggestion, we started walking one way where I thought the car was. No cell phones, GPS, of course. This was a few years ago. After another half hour or so of walking, basically out of water, we realized that we had turned the wrong way. We had to turn around, backtrack, go the other direction to find the car, which was really not very far from where we had started. It was from that point on that we realized Carrie's sense of direction was better than mine. But it was a little scary, a little unsettling, worrisome, that we didn't have the basic things we needed for life out there in that desert. That's what wandering in the wilderness is like. It's difficult to survive without proper preparation and sustenance and no sense of direction. The Israelites of the Old Testament had an extended period of surviving in the wilderness after God had freed them and brought them to the entrance of the promised land. They sinned against him by doubting his power and goodness toward them. Their sin caused them to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. However, despite this punishment, they were not without God's care. God frequently supplied them with much-needed water. He provided food in the form of quail and manna, and he provided them a leader in Moses to guide them. Despite their grumbling that the journey was long or that they were bored with the food, God continued to provide for them in that wilderness. Our Old Testament lesson from 1 Kings provides another example of wilderness survival. The prophet Elijah, fearing for his life, fled to the wilderness, lied down under a broom tree, and asked God that he might die. He lived among a people who weren't very interested in hearing his word of prophecy, the word that Elijah was called to proclaim to them. His opponents sought to kill him, but such was not God's plan. In a dream, Elijah is told to wake up and eat, and there sitting next to him is bread and water, God providing for Elijah's needs, even in the wilderness. Now, I would say that on a day-to-day basis, most of us don't need to worry too much about having enough food or water or shelter. In general, our physical lives are not in danger that way. Although between the pandemic and the freeze we experienced this winter, it's not so clear how really self-sufficient we might be all the time. But there is another kind of wilderness in which we do live, a spiritual one. What is the spiritual landscape of our culture like? What is the spiritual landscape of our own souls like? We know the moral condition of our world, that's disregard for God's design for marriage, life, and justice. And these things serve as a reminder that the world our children and grandchildren are growing up in is a spiritual and moral wilderness. And it reminds us that we need spiritual food. We need sustenance. We need bread. We need water. We need to be strengthened for this journey. We need to not wander around aimlessly in this world, conforming to the ways of this world. We need something to sustain us. We need to be strengthened as we look forward to the life to come. at our resurrection. The affairs of this world can drain us mentally, emotionally, and worst of all, spiritually. We need God's providence to sustain us. It is in this context that we now listen to Jesus' words from our gospel lesson when he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Christ tells us that he not only provides our food, but he is our food. Ours is not a church that simply talks about Jesus, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ is actually delivered to you who hunger and thirst for his righteousness. You are fed with Christ. It is a very different food that the world gives you. The world feeds you all sorts of lies and half-truths, and your heart feeds you too. Your heart feeds you worry over your sin, or lack of worry over your sin, each equally deadly. And so we need to be strengthened on our journey. We need to be fed with our Lord Jesus. This feeding started in your baptism. Caden and Sophia have been washed in the blood of the Lamb in our presence this day. And the waters of baptism have drowned their sin and raised them to new life. And it is so with you. Baptismal waters cover you. You who thirst for righteousness have your thirst quenched in the waters of holy baptism. As God led Noah and his family safely through the flood, as he led the Israelites safely across the Red Sea, as he provided for them water from a rock so they could drink and live, so God provides water for you as well. Cleansing water, forgiving water, baptismal water. God spoke to the people of the Old Testament through the prophets like Elijah, even when they didn't want to hear. But now he has spoken to us through his Son. He has used the apostles to write his words. He sends you pastors and teachers and parents that these words may be proclaimed to you, because in these words is Christ himself. These words are life. They remind us of our spiritual desolation. And they remind us of our sin. And they remind us that this life is temporary. It will end. And these words point us over and over again to our Lord, our Jesus. They point us to the cross, the gateway through which all of us will pass from this life into the next, from this spiritual wilderness into eternal life, resurrection of the dead. Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." And what about bread? Our Old Testament lesson showed that God provided Elijah with bread to sustain his life. As the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, God provided them manna, bread from heaven, they called it. But now a better, more perfect bread has arrived. The bread that comes down from heaven. Christ, the bread of life. And miracle of miracles, he actually gives himself under the bread to eat and under the wine to drink physically from this altar. Jesus being the bread of life is more than a metaphor or flowery language, because from this altar, he literally gives you his body and blood under the bread and wine to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Real bread, real body, real wine, real blood. A physical, invisible way for God to sustain you as you become parched and weary from traveling in this spiritual desert. All week you are filled with the food of this world. Here you are filled with the body and blood of Christ. Through God's word and his water and his body, he feeds you. He provides for you. He gives you life and sustains you until you make it home to your heavenly home. Jesus said, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." you need this bread. So I urge you, faithfully hear the word of God proclaimed to you each Lord's Day. Use personal and family devotion time to be renewed through the word. Be reminded of what God has done for you in baptism, and bring others you know to the waters of holy baptism. Partake regularly of the body and blood of our Lord for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith. For these are the means of grace, the word, baptism, the Lord's Supper, absolution. They are gifts that God gives to you to sustain you on the journey in the wilderness. Christ, the bread of life, everything that comes from him is to your benefit. As you walk in this wilderness of life, be turned again and again to the source of your strength, our Lord. As you see others stumbling on their journeys, point them here as well. As Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.